Hi, I'm Jessica St. Clair.
And I'm June Diane Raphael.
And this is
The Deep Dive.
We're about to do what women have done for centuries. We're crowding around the fire with our generous haunches. We got babies hanging off our tits, and we're going to share with you our fears.
That's right. Our joys.
Our tips on how to stay alive.
Now, Jess, we are heeding a call that no one has made.
Not a soul, but you're invited to listen.
Absolutely, because we make one promise and one promise only. We will not Google a thing.
Because frankly, we're too damn tired.
Please get ready to go on
The Deep Dive.
Hi, Jessica.
June.
How do you do?
I gotta say, I've turned around on this place because the sun is out. I was just not more than 15 minutes ago laying like a lizard on a hot rock out on the outer raft with a couple of choice moms.
Oh, wow.
Choice grade A moms.
Wow.
Watching our girls jump off the raft like tree frogs and just... It's a whole different world.
I'm glad to hear that because I'm looking behind you at your background and you're in the same room, it seems, but there's
something
black.
Different.
Yeah, there's black. They're something not different. Shades. They look like garbage bags.
They're garbage bags.
It looks like when Dexter, you know, when Dexter started to like put up his kill room.
Didn't see it.
Okay. Well,
don't
he would have
talk
to
about
like.
It. Yep. Don't
he would have
talk
to like basically like
nope,
saran
nope, nope,
wrap
nope,
a room.
Nope, no, okay. No, no, no,
well,
no, no.
It looks like that's what's happening. What's going on back there?
Well, you know, there's a generational divide, I believe, in darkening rooms for sleeping children. And you know, the first thing I did when I came over, when you gave me an SOS, I can't get my first child to go to sleep. I came over and I was like, we have to not
way
even
darker.
A pinpoint of light may come through.
Yes.
Now, that is backed up by sleep research. You don't want lights to, because we have receptors on our skin that tell us to wake up. We do not want that to disrupt our deep sleep. But the problem is I'm renting this old lady's house and there ain't no like curtains on any windows. It's like you should be up with the sun. And that means
no,
up
you.
At 4 a.m. So my best friend Brandy is here with me parenting best friend to best friend. There are no men. And we covered every inch of every window with garbage bags.
That's like wonderful.
Like we are cooking meth because I do not want our day to start any sooner than it has to.
That's great. And I am also, you know, I'm with you and you did teach me that lesson early on. And I my kids both still sleep in like what is essentially a sensory deprivation tank. Like you, if you wake up in their room, you don't know what year it is.
You don't know.
You don't know. You can't hear anything. The white noise is so loud.
I have a white noise. I got fans. I got all manner of things.
Yeah.
But we have.
You don't know
ourselves.
If you're a body. If you're in outer space. Like you don't know if you're awake or dead or dreaming. And that's what I want them to feel.
You know,
so they go right back.
And I know that the other generations judge us because it isn't as easy to transport them to other places unless you're in like the Four Seasons with a heavy curtain. Do you know what I'm saying? Like this old lady, I mean, I guess no one's looking into her windows or peeping in, but she's got nothing on there. So,
well, all you have to do, though, is travel with heavy duty garbage bags.
I understand, but don't you feel like a psycho when you're like taking out the packing tape, you know,
and our children you need to pack with those bags and duct tape.
And what's even weirder is
our
kids
TSA
sit on the bed.
And hope TSA doesn't ask any questions.
That's right. Like, and our kids are sitting there just watching at 8 p.m. like this, like going about like little Santa's workshop and they're not weirded out by it because it happens everywhere we go. It's fucking weird. But June, I got to get to the nitty gritty here.
What's up, Doc?
I have some serious, like, some serious things, like, not in a good way, are happening over here. And I just needed to share. Basically, you know that there was a childhood friend whose wife passed away from breast cancer, right, up here. Yeah. So that was last September. And, you know, he's one half of an identical twin. And we grew up together since we were like 3 years old. Right. And she was in Paris when I was in L.A. We were both in chemo at the same time. And anyway, so she was a real force. She went to Dartmouth. And as you know, those women are
they
smart.
Don't fuck around. Yeah.
Now, they read New York Times, the real paper from beginning to end. Wow. And then they go for a run, and then they swim around a lake, and then they get to work on their hedge fund. So that's who this woman was, you know?
And like wearing white jeans.
And like a beautiful, like mariner top, striped top. And like their hair is shorter, like in a bob maybe, but it doesn't look like it did when I did, which was like a bicycle helmet. And it's like just everything's fresh and fun and just easy breezy.
Wow. Beautiful. Wow. Wow. Yeah.
I mean, I'll never forget her.
Ovulated.
Yeah. They're just,
Image.
Every summer, I loved this twin so much. I wanted him to love me back. And every summer I would put in my request, and every summer I would get a no. And then I tried to just like throw my hand with the other twin, and he was like, no, because he didn't want that, you know? And of course, and then when he met her, I was like, of course he wants that. Right. We all want that.
We all do. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so she passed away, and it was so sad. And as much as we corresponded over email, we weren't close. You know, I didn't know her well, because when I was kind of not coming to New Hampshire, really, because I didn't have kids of that age, she was here, a real fixture here. And she became very close to my mom. At any rate, she was also a connector. She brought a lot of women into where I am summering. My parents live. And so anyway, she is gone. And there are two or three of her best friends who are on the beach. And they all sort of sought me out. And we started talking, and I immediately, too soon, probably said, have you heard from her? Because I wanted to know, you know, like, are they talking to her? And one of them was totally on board. The other one was like, I think I've been hearing from her, but I wasn't sure. And I'm like, I think she's trying to talk to you. Like, I was not getting a message from her. I was there to share a message, which is just, she's listening. She wants to hear from you. She wants to be in conversation with you. But it's really hard to believe. I know it's hard. And then I was like, maybe I'm crazy. Like, why am I telling perfect strangers to like talk to their dead friend? But I do feel the bond between best friends is so intense. I believe it's one of those like mother-daughter that cannot be broken by the physical world.
Beautiful. That's beautiful.
I don't know, man. I just like,
and I think it's incredible that they sought you out. You know, I think that means something. And I do think that, I mean, I believe that, Jess. You know, I believe that. And I really do. And I really, I really appreciate when, like, I think it's so hard too, in the madness of days and the sort of intensity of lives, to get quiet, you know? And I'm this is such a long way around to tell you this, but I have been watching the 7th season of Alone on Netflix.
Oh my God, this is just the like thing but that stay Jason with me for was a second. Obsessed with, right?
Yes, Jason Mantzoukas turned me on to it. And it's, this season was a little different because they're all kind of competing to get to 100 days of solitude in the Arctic winter in North America, like as far north as you could get basically in Canada. And they are literally alone and building shelter and dealing with predators. I mean, what these people, and filming themselves, what these people are doing is absolutely outrageous. But not to give too much, whatever, fuck it. I'm going to give some spoilers because I have to tell you this because it's related. The season winner of this year, again, fast forward if you're mid alone, but he is a man who, while he was preparing for his journey to be alone, had lost his mom. Oh. And he I think they probably encouraged them to like have conversations with themselves on camera and film themselves. Yeah. And You know, and a part of the reason why they're doing that, too, is like to not actually go insane, like to mentally be stable.
Yeah, like in Tom Hanks talking to that. I didn't like that. I didn't want to see that movie, but, you know, with
that volleyball. Wilson.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
So
I need to see that.
But this man, I believe this entire season 7 of Alone, it'll make me cry just thinking about it. But it is the most beautiful meditation on grief and on seeing someone, witnessing someone do the work of grief, which includes for him deep regret and confronting that, confronting that he felt really badly about what he put his parents through and his mother through, gratitude, honoring, and he's doing it in this natural environment where he's with the earth. And there's something about seeing him in this kind of like ashes to ashes, stardust kind of way, where he's also in relation to his surroundings in such a beautiful way of like killing his food, eating his food, building his space and shelter and protection, and expressing gratitude for the things that he kills to sustain himself and life ending and life continuing. Like it is all just so beautiful that he talks a lot about how these memories, this unlocking of memory and grief, is happening for him on this journey of being alone and in solitude. And it really, for me, you know, when you're talking about like, are we listening? Are we still in relation to those who have passed? Are we still communicating? Are we a part of, in our own mortality, acknowledging like when we will leave and what we will leave behind? And all of that like deep work it's very hard to find the time for, right? And sort of like life admin and just sort of capitalism and all of it, and this feeling of go, 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 and have to accomplish and have to sustain. And I really am craving carving out and having more time.
Yeah.
To do that.
Because I think I imagine them sitting on the other side, frustrated that they can't get through. They're like, fuck, nobody's picking up the phone. You know, these dummies. You know what I mean? And sometimes I think they got to throw a boulder in front of you to like get your attention. But what if we all like quieted down a bit so we could hear them? You know, because I really did. And I might be losing my mind. I realized that. Like, I am my own episode of Alone in my own brain. Like, minus being able to create shelter for myself. Like, I believed that their friend was trying to get to them, and I needed to just say it. Like, I'm sorry, but
I mean, listen, I wouldn't necessarily peg you as like the messenger, you know. I really wouldn't necessarily say like this is going to be the vessel for spirits to communicate through. Like, you wouldn't have been a natural choice. No offense.
I know. They don't want to use me. I know they're like, this package is not reliable. She has not built up confidence in her yourself. You know, like, and I, you know, and like, I've, and yet I've called you to tell
You've
you, like,
me with
I think
messages.
Your mother is like proud of you. And like, I don't know why she wants me to tell you that. I don't know, man. Who knows?
But when you did that, Jessica, and shared that message with me, you know, and for deep divers, yes, I am telling you that my parents have been in communication with me through Jessica. You know, so do with that what you will. And, you know, what can I say? This is what's going on. But I really did feel it. And you do have an, I will say, more than most people, you have an ear to the other side.
You do. That is shocking. Yeah. But lately it's all, you know, and I, obviously someone's just passed and, you know, that I want so much. And I just, maybe it is all just wanting, you know, wanting it to be true. And, you know, saying it enough times so that it will be true. And I don't know. And maybe at the end of the day, just this beautiful legacy of this young woman is that she brought all these friends together. And we're having this, even though, again, it rained 98% of the time I've been here. It's been so beautiful to be with new people and hear their stories, you know, and I'm sitting on the beach with this girl, you know, from Paris, and we're just weeping, you know, and it's 6 p.m. and Dan's
amazing.
Like, you said you were going to be home an hour ago. Everybody's hungry. Children are crying.
Yeah.
And I find you sitting here weeping with a perfect stranger. Are you okay?
I am so happy to hear this. I really am. And I do think that for this woman, like, you're right, it is a powerful legacy. It's a powerful legacy. We've talked about this before, but grief is, you know, we don't do a lot of work around it. We really don't. And our culture doesn't support that.
Just get back to business.
Because it's like, I think when we don't do that, right, we deny our own mortality. We deny and refuse to look at our own, the sort of end of our lives and where we place in, like, the bigger history of things, because it's too scary to look at. And that's what I think, it's very scary for people to be with other people's grief, to be with their own. We don't provide a lot of outlets.
No, and then you waste your
welcoming
day.
Into this. Absolutely. And I think welcoming it into the space and saying, this is a place here in its like joy, in its sadness, in its joy, and its like beauty and legacy, like it always will have a place at the table. How could it not?
Right.
How could it not? You know, and I will say that, you know, my sister had an experience with a psychic where my parents came through, and, you know, I have never had that experience with a psychic, and I think I've talked about why before, like why I won't necessarily go to someone to try to connect with my parents.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't feel, honestly, I don't feel I have to, because I feel like I'm already
right
with them and they're with me, and that there would be something disingenuous about it. However, one of the messages that came through was that my sisters and I were not thanking them enough.
Oh. Wait, what?
It was a message with an edge,
with
a bit of resentment.
Thanking them.
Yeah.
Like honoring them enough, they've given to you.
Yes. And, you know, that's why I put up, I've been working on this thing, Jess, which honestly, deep divers, I have to say a lot of this. I really appreciate this space and all of our deep divers, because it's helped me quite a bit. Really think about my own grief and like how I'm handling it. Because when I moved into our new house, I don't know if I've talked about this before, Jess, so when I moved into our new house, I have my parents' ashes, and I had my mom's ashes in sort of an urn that was in my house in Long Island.
Right.
And I took it to LA and I put it like in my carry-on, and it was in our old house. Now, when my dad passed away, this is a whole crazy story, but when we buried my mom's ashes, we didn't think through, because we were in such trauma and shock, the fact that there was no space for my dad to be buried there.
Right. And then you had to go back
and then I had to go back and disinter the ashes. And it was like a crazy situation. So long story short, when my dad passed away, we buried both of their ashes together. And I had a container like from the mortuary of my dad's ashes, just in a regular container that they give you. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so I had this urn and then I had this like box, this very industrial looking box. But I was very worried when we were moving that something would happen to them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I asked my sister if I could leave them at her place.
Okay.
And then since we moved in, you know, we've been in the new house for about 2 years. I haven't gotten them.
Brought them back. Yeah.
You know, and I haven't had them with me. Mm-hmm. And so, and I haven't put up a lot of pictures of my
right,
parents.
You had said that.
You know, I said that. But I realized I wanted to create kind of this altar.
Oh, I love that.
Because I went to this restaurant. I went to like this sushi restaurant, and the owner had this sort of altar on a shelf, which was very stylized and beautiful, but it was like a picture. It was like his dad's picture and a baseball cap and like a couple of beautiful things.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I've still been struggling because I now have a new urn on the altar spot.
Yeah.
But I've been struggling with like, do I put them together? Do they want to be together in mixed ashes? This is so crazy. But do they want to be separate? How do I honor? You know, I have a separate relationship with both of them.
Right.
You know, all of these questions, right? But it's been a really lovely, sad, but lovely project to know I'm going to create this little special space. With like a candle. I think I want to put my dad's pocket knife there.
I
think I want to put my mother's ring there and a picture.
And then they'll always be there in the room, you know, with you. I love that because I'm now thinking back. I never put up a picture of my best friend anywhere because I was afraid that every time I passed it, I'd be too sad.
Mm-hmm.
Literally. I mean, I'm tearing
totally
up thinking about
it.
Just even seeing her face, I just couldn't do it. So that's, you know, I was too afraid. But that's actually, no, bring them out. Bring them off. Bring them out.
And I really do understand that, though, Jess, because I think people are different spaces. Like, I get being afraid to look at faces.
Yeah.
I feel that too. Like, I can't see a single video of my mother.
Yeah.
I'm like, if I were to hear my mother's voice, I'd lose my fucking mind. Like,
yeah.
I have stuff with my dad. I'm like, I can't.
Yeah.
But so I'm like, oh, it's time though now to put out my pictures.
Yeah.
And it's been, here's the thing, deep divers who are dealing with like recent grief. It's like time is so fucking weird because this is, my mom is like since 2007.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
You think like, I'm over it. Like, get over it.
Or like, you're
never.
Yeah. And I'm like, no, now is when I can create my altar.
I totally get it. Yeah,
so and it's really not a time. There's no timeline that makes any sort of sense.
Any sense because you're both here and back then, and it's like PTSD. You're both here and you're back in the event, and memory is really interesting. And I just have been thinking so much about how you said you carry your childhood with you wherever you go. You know, those memories are never get lost. And so in a way, they're always alive in you, you know, even if they're not talking to us from the beyond, which I really hope they are.
I think they
really want to believe it. I just really want to believe it so bad.
Well, anyway, again, I mean, it is suspect that of all the people they would choose you, you know, I don't.
It's almost like if you pitched a movie of it, who's the most unlikely carrier of this important information when, like, I can't even log on to Zoom.
That's what I'm
and
saying.
And yet like, I'm getting it from the beyond. I believe me, it's not like people see me and I go, ooh, who's that spiritual person? No.
It's not the first. It wouldn't be the first thought. And I'm like, are they finding you in TJ Maxx, Home Goods? Like, where are they finding you? But, like, again, you know. I accept it. Okay. You know, I accept
and
this
I know,
unlikely.
Listen, I'm coming in hot, but I just to know that this is the most, and the other thing about the girl who passed, like she would not believe any of this. That's what's funny about it. It's yeah. like, if it isn't true, she's pissed that I'm telling people this. You know what I mean? Like she just is. An aside about TJ Maxx, I found a TJ Maxx here. About 50 minutes away.
It's a long drive.
And I made my way there with one of these willing moms, you know, under the guise
that you found these moms.
God, they're so great.
I love it. See, I have always, so it's so interesting because I won't name who she is, but I have a friend who is so jealous of like my mom friends. Yeah. You know, because like I got a group with Gus, really with Gus's age group. Unfortunately, I haven't done the same like work with Sam's, but
yeah.
who are like some pretty fucking awesome
yeah.
women who
this
I found.
This is the Michaela of it all.
This is Michaela and
yeah.
Co.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah,
and yeah, yeah. I'm just so lucky. And I do feel like, wow, you can really end up with some duds.
You can. You got it. Well, you can. And it's hard work to make them. And I don't necessarily have that at the pandemic had shown me in, and I need to work on that at home. And that's why this was so unexpected. And there are about 5 or 6 girls who are 7/8 years old. And God damn it, they're having the shock girl summer of a lifetime.
Oh my God, that's it. That, like, what could be better? And that's the thing. When your child is playing with another child and you can connect to their parent,
it's a fucking like winning
in more
the
than a surface way. That's a huge fucking thing.
Yeah. And it I'm really also gonna is. Just, I want to just give a quick shout out to the moms out there.
I know. I just called a load of you duds.
I know, but and yes, there are to. Some. Even the duds, though, find other duds, you know, to be friends with.
And, yeah. And like dud on with, dud like, love. Yeah.
Duds, duds times two, you know?
Dud square.
But like, but you know what? A shout out to the moms because we did get our children through this pandemic and by hook or by crook.
By hook or by crook. And still are, Jess.
Still are. Listen to me. This is, and BB is allowed to be without her mask up here because they're all outside and because there is not one case of COVID in this town.
Oh, God bless.
And it has been just a pretty miraculous 3 weeks. But I just look around and I'm like, you know, we put aside everything for those kids this year. And they're having a little bit of joy now. And that is so special. You know, I'm just so proud. I am really proud of us for just fucking doing it, for saving Halloween, for saving Christmas, for
Halloween. I know.
You know, and even this summer, I was like, you know what? I'm not going to meet anybody. I'm going to just be me in my damp pair of jeans, you know, sitting up here thinking about my childhood memories. And I did it for BB. And then it turned out, you know, I stumbled upon this little orange grove of delicious moms, of juicy, juicy moms.
I love this. Yeah. I love
And we're
love,
all going to meet back
this.
Next year. Again,
oh
ain't going to be 3
Jess.
Weeks necessarily because that's a little
okay,
too long.
Okay, we learned that. Yeah.
But, you know, we're all like, okay, and tonight we're all having pizza at the beach, you know?
This
we're
is a dream come
at
true.
The beach.
This is wonderful. This
so
is wonderful.
If I had to survive 25 days of rain to get here, you know, what if Noah
it.
Did it with the ark? You know what I mean? He had to
yeah,
pack up all those
very
animals.
Similar.
Imagine living with that kind of animals. that kind of cacophony of sounds.
Oh, sorry, Jess. Someone is.
Yes.
Hello?
It's Paul.
No, it's actually Meatball, but that was really
oh,
quite
I,
scary.
Meatball is welcome.
Yeah, that was really quite scary. It's Meatball.
All is welcome.
Yeah.
I'm very, very happy to hear this. And you're right. We've done the unimaginable. Something I've been thinking about with parenting right now is I have one of my co-stars on Grace and Frankie. He's actually, he was a guest star on this past episode. Lovely actor. And he, you know, we were catching up about how he's done through the quarantine and he said, we were talking about our kids and how we did it. And, you know, I was like, oh, God, it's so like I look at my 4-year-old and he's so fine with his mask. You know, he's so fine with putting it on. He's so fine with the restrictions. I don't know if he remembers another time.
That's the saddest shit you've ever said.
Okay. Okay. But this is what one of the actors reminded me of. He's like, you know, because I wanted to cry thinking about that. And he's like, we have to be careful to not project our sadness onto them. Because what they know is what they know in the parameters of their lives. And they spent a lot of time with you last year. And they got to be with you. And they are able to wear the masks because it's not anything to them. It doesn't carry the meaning. They're not walking around with the loss of what they had because they don't know. And I'm talking about a specific age group, but they don't know what they lost.
That's right.
And it was really good for me to hear because I was like, I have been feeling, we talked about it last week, really angry and depressed about the world. And I think a lot of that's valid and necessary, that we should all feel fucking angry and motivated to change things. And also like being really careful to not project that onto my children and to continue to like allow them to have their full experience of the world and its joys, even with these limitations.
Yeah, because they do find joy.
And they fucking do.
And also, like, I have noticed that, I don't know, they like, and again, maybe it's just up here, but BB and these girls are just spending, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours catching salamanders.
Oh my God.
Like, because they haven't gotten to be together. Like, the joy they seem to have together. Now, maybe I'm projecting, honestly. Maybe I am. But I just think there is something to that. They, you know, I don't think there's going to be a whole lot on board here, you know.
Right.
Because they didn't even get to go anywhere for so long. Even being in a creepy old lady's house is better than,
for sure,
you know, their own four walls.
I'm so happy about this, Jessica. And what an amazing lesson for us all. Like, there's so much anxiety around this trip and like, what was it going to be? And then isn't this the fucking thing that it ends up being something totally that we couldn't expect?
Totally.
Yep.
Yeah. So, but I am coming home and then 3 weeks later, shipping off to good old, jolly old England, which I don't know where they're headed, but, you know, that's going to be another, I kind of feel like I got to get Heidi on the horn just to see what she sees for that time.
It's so crazy because I have such a memory of being at a drive-through COVID test on the phone with you and Casey talking about your trip to England when you thought you were going.
Right. And about how dangerous,
yes.
it was going to be. And should I put myself in that danger and Dan in that danger? Yes. And so here we are, you know, going, and I can't wait to be back with these people. It's probably very similar to how you feel with the Grace and Frankie crew, even though you were with them for so much longer. But God, what a stellar group of people.
It's a wonderful feeling.
Yeah. So, but to not know what the world will be like is just bizarre. So I got to try to prepare for that and probably similar, bring that kind of sense of like radical acceptance to whatever it's going to be and not try to hold it to what it was. Cause it certainly will not be what it was, which was spring break, you know? So, but who knows? We don't know what it will be. Yeah.
We don't know what it will be.
Yeah. What else is cooking over there?
Oh gosh. Well, I'm happy to talk to you. What else is cooking over here?
Are you going to go anywhere in August?
We have a few things planned here and there. I think I'm like kind of struck with how this summer has gone by.
Yeah.
You know, I keep on thinking like, oh, we're just ramping up. And now I'm like, no, we're like school starts in like a couple weeks. Like that.
I know, that's crazy.
That's making me feel a little crazy. And I've been in this position with the exception of last year, where I'm always working over the summer because our shooting schedule has worked out. Like, that's always kind of what it is. No, but everything has been really just fine. I think I'm just,
And I'm going to talk about alone again because I've been really, really craving and not sort of muscling my way through it. But when you said something about Lemon Parm, as deep divers know, or lemon parsnips. And how she
Ms.
moves.
Ms. Parsnips.
Yeah, Ms. Parsnips, how she moves slow as molasses. And that's just like my continual dream, that I just slow it all the fucking way down.
I've been doing that, June. It's so strange. I've been, with my best friend here, she's quite neat and I'm not. And so I know that a disordered kitchen makes her feel like she's losing her mind. So I've been trying to put things away as I, I chop it, then I put it away. Then I unscrew the cap and I put it back on. Mm-hmm. And things take a long time I cook usually like I'm on the Iron Chef, gotta get it, chop, and then throw it, and it looks insane. And so I keep just saying to myself, chop wood, carry water, and it feels very meditative and nice, but again, I'm on vacation. I don't have much to do.
But that's wonderful.
Yeah, well, but what if we brought that back to our...
You know what? Listen, I tried this weekend. We actually had a lovely weekend with very little scheduled and planned, and it was just absolutely beautiful. And one thing I did this weekend, which I am not known to do, but I had received as a birthday present, someone had taken a picture of Meatball and turned it into a puzzle.
That is just... That, by the way, could sell like hotcakes.
Okay, and I've had this box with this picture on it for a while, and I said, you know what? I'm going to do a puzzle. And it was really wonderful. And it was a wonderful way to experience the weekend.
I mean, there's no end game. Like, because I've always been like, what's up with puzzles? At the end, you're going to frame it? Like, what are you going to do?
I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to destroy it at the end. You're going to destroy it. And if that's not a fucking metaphor for this, our time on this rock, like you're going to just, it's going to go away.
Yeah, it is.
You know,
in that box, like in that industrial box.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's where we're headed. Someone could tote us around and put them in their carry-on. That's like, okay, fuck it, dude. Fuck it.
I also want to just dip in, and one of my moms is into something called quantum biology, which again, okay. I know it sounds crazy, but without getting too much, I don't know enough about it. Okay.
Yeah, well, has that ever stopped us before, Jessica?
It's never stopped me.
I feel like we've issued that disclaimer. I mean, how many times can we say it? Yeah, we don't know what we're talking about. Listen. Buyer beware. Listen at your own risk.
At your own risk.
Yeah, exactly. Like, how many times can we say it?
This is not FDA
There's a
approved.
major disclaimer on this podcast.
This ain't FDA approved, but we will have
this.
This
isn't
woman
even in like experimental trials.
It's
like,
not
we
in trials.
We have no data to look at.
We have no patent, but basically, I listen, you can Google it. It is an actual field of study, but basically the point is, we should be living more in the circadian rhythms of life. So basically, this mom had chronic fatigue, and it was so bad she couldn't even get out of bed after her third was born. And she went to all these doctors, and everybody told her, get over it. This is just being a young mom. Who cares? Have some coffee. And finally, she found this doctor. He was basically turned her on to this study of quantum biology, which is to say, like, our bodies are full of energy. We are connected to the earth. And the more disconnected we are, the more sick we become. So the couple tips I gained, because I'm not going to read those articles. Mm-hmm. I said, what can I do? I'm on board. You've already sold me. You're 5 minutes into your description of this, and I'm on board. She said, in the morning, first thing when you wake up, you must go outside because we have to be outside. Come on now, June. Listen, oh my God, pass. We have to see the light with our eyes and our light receptors to get set on the circadian rhythms, okay? We're going to get that sunlight. Okay. And then when the night falls, you also want to have your bare feet touch the earth. I'm not exactly sure why. Okay. But you're supposed to get your feet out there and you're supposed to get some sun. They don't want you covered in sunscreen all the time. They want you to get some of that vitamin D.
By the way, did you see me during the course of this podcast? I've already had sunblock on. I just put some more on.
I'm sitting in a
recording closet.
I know. I have no plans
to go outside in the next few hours. And I just blocked myself up. Now, listen, I do think that there's a lot to that. Here's what I'm going to push back on. Again, this isn't a science podcast. This isn't a medical podcast. But like when people say stuff about, oh, we weren't getting sick back then, it's like, yeah, well, most children didn't live past the age of two. So we're doing a lot fucking better overall, right? And there's people who are incredibly healthy and well-rounded who die of horrible things every day.
Of course.
So these things we know. But I do believe that sunshine is really important. I mean, you're talking about the rain, Jess. Every year I lived in New York City when January hit.
Oh, depressed. Deeply depressed.
Oh, my God. I would become so depressed.
Me too.
So I do believe there is something to that. And I want to thanking my parents. How about we thank Meatball for getting me outside in the morning, walking left brain, right brain, left brain, right brain, left brain, right brain, walking in the sun around the block. It has done wonders for my mental health.
And if you could do it right away when you get up.
That's going to be tricky.
Because I'll just give the little bullets, which is that when you get up and your body sees and your eyes see, okay, it's the morning, you start producing melatonin. You produce the melatonin from 7 to 9 a.m. basically. That's the melatonin you will then use later in the day. If you don't get out and your body doesn't know it's time to wake up, then you're not producing that melatonin you're going to need for good sleep and rest.
Well, I don't know how we're going to ever know what time it is to wake up in your home because of those garbage bags that are up.
That's my point. I know. Okay. I know. And they, you know, again,
this is a meditation on contradictions and like you're going to hear things. You're going to hear other things.
is all I'm going to say. When I come home, which is on Sunday, I have about 6 days until Dan gets home. I'm alone. I'm going to try. And I know this sounds crazy. So just hear me out. Okay. I'm going to wake with the sun and I'm going to use candles at night. Because
what
the screen when you go on your phone,
Your
body is already winding down.
I know that's right.
The light that emanates from your phone is what 12 noon is. That's the light that you're sending to your brain to say, "Wake up! It's the middle of the day. You should be hunting right now." Okay. So, and the light that comes from LED light bulbs and all that can really wake you up. This is according to this quantum biological. I'm going to try it for 6 days. I'm going to candle it. Like the olden days, I'm going to go to bed with the sun. I'm going to wake up.
What about TV? What about my programs? My talkies?
We're going to go back to books.
Oh, by candlelight? Can I listen to a podcast?
Yeah. Just don't look at the screen.
You
can also wear blue blocker glasses. That you can watch TV. I'm going to try it with candles because I'm just curious. And now I hope Dan doesn't listen to this because he'll be like, "You're going to burn the house down." Okay, it's not that. Okay, it's not like I'm going to be doing that. I'm going to make sure they're all out before I go to sleep.
Please do.
I know it's a lot to throw on everyone, but I just thought I'm going to give that a try.
Please, reminder, Cody, please help us remember this. Next week, we have to check in.
Yeah.
And we have to find out how Jessica did with all of this. I am curious.
Yeah.
You know, that's fascinating. I do know that I've really struggled since the pandemic. I have more energy now, but we've talked about early bedtimes before.
What you were doing, June, the 4 p.m. bath.
That's right.
Well, when she was telling me this, I was like, June was doing it right all along. You should be winding down at 4. It's not 10 p.m. wind down. No.
See, this feels right to me, to my natural rhythms.
Me too. So I'm going to try it. I'm going to try it. Listen, I'm actually doing this not justice, because when I've listened to them speak about it, and they're going to have a website that explains all of it, and we'll have them on to talk about it, just because I think this is great information. God knows I could sleep
better. Don't go onto the website before the sun rises or after it sets.
That's right.
Okay. Gotcha.
Okay.
And look at it with blue blockers.
That's right.
I'm interested. I'm curious. And I think it's fascinating. And by the way, just so you know, I am someone who loves candles to a degree where and it's funny, when Paul came back from Japan, he took his father for his 70th birthday to Japan.
I love that.
And the two of them had this beautiful trip together. It was really quite special. But he came back and said, I'm going to change my relationship to gift giving.
Oh.
And he said, you know, what they do there is give gifts that are perishable, that are consumed, and then, you know, not gifts that like sit somewhere and live there forever, but food, candles, things that have a beginning, middle, and end.
A lotion.
Yeah. I thought that was so fascinating. So
I love that.
My purchase of candles is... it's like one of those things where it's such a splurge to me, you know, it's such a splurge, but is it because I'm so sensitive to this, to smells, like sensory experiences?
I can't actually be with most candles that have a smell.
Oh, so you don't like it. I see. Okay.
Well, no, it's not that I don't like it. I'm always wondering what smell is going to give me a headache or not.
Oh, so that's interesting.
It's very difficult for me to know which one. But yes, I love when a house smells like a sandalwood or a, you know,
that's
luxury, baby.
Talk
about a simple way to elevate the everyday.
Oh my God. I'm like fraught with it, right? Because there are, you know, I have expensive tastes. Like it costs to look this good. What can I tell you? It costs fucking money to look like this. I have expensive taste. I like a luxury experience, and I'm no longer going to apologize for that.
No,
and if I had my druthers, I would have Jo Malone candles like throughout the fucking house. Ooh. Like I would have someone curate a specific scent for me for a home candle.
Wow.
I would,
wow,
because that's how important it is to me. But I don't oft give myself the permission to do that, even though I know how important those scents are to me. For example, the Jo Malone Orange Blossom candle is a very important candle to me.
Okay.
It's a very important scent to me.
Okay.
And I, on my wedding day, they made a lotion version of that candle.
Yeah.
And I slathered myself in it.
Oh.
And every time I smell that, I go right back to that day, that special day. And the smell of my mother's perfume. Mm-hmm. I actually can't, I have two bottles of her perfume, but I can't smell them because it's too much. But I know what that smells like.
Yes,
I'm just so, I just find that sense of all of them to be the most evocative, to be the most important. But I struggle with do I deserve this?
Oh God, yes.
Do I deserve this purchase?
Always. Is there anything slower than a candle? If we're talking about slowing it the fuck down, a candle that burns slowly down, you know, that's what they do in France. Light it up. Light up those candles. Candelabra, baby. That's going to be me.
Yeah, that's going to be this week.
But Amadeus.
I do love lighting a candle at night. I love a bedside table candle. Love a kitchen candle that is unscented.
Apparently that a candle light and fire feels so good to us is that red-orange light. That is what we see as the day goes down, as the sun sets, it becomes red and orange. And that light cues us to relax. The day is done. So actually, I think if we start lighting some candles, we're going to feel like that's why he feels kind of so much more relaxed. Also, by the way, what woman doesn't look great by candlelight?
We all do. And please, praise God, please let's remember to put them out. Deep divers. Deep divers, that's just a quick PSA. That's to you, that's to myself, and that's to Jessica. Let's not die by fire, by candle. You know, let's remember to put them out. Jessica, this was another wild ride. I didn't know what we were going to talk about today. I was actually today's one of the few days I'm showing up with very little.
I didn't expect to cry within the first 3 minutes, but.
Well, but there you have it. And I'm so happy to hear that you're doing so well there.
Yeah, I'm going to soak up the next couple days, and then I'll see you in the olden days when I come back for a little
see you on the other side.
Sunrise, sunset.
See you on the other side. Have a great week, deep divers.
Let's go on the deep dive. Let's go dive in deep. Let's go on the deep dive. No secrets will we keep. It's June and Jessica, rolling deep. How deep can you go? Oh, really deep. Let's go on the deep dive. Let's go diving deep.
The Deep Dive is produced by Jessica St. Clair, June Diane Raphael, and Earwolf. Our producer is Cody Fisher and sound engineer Jordan Duffy. You can listen to our ad-free and bonus episodes on Stitcher Premium. And for a free 1 month trial of Stitcher, use code DEEPDIVE. And remember, the best way to support this show is to rate and review.
And a huge thank you to Ann Geddes for her beautiful photo that she allowed us to use for our cover art. Please head over to AnnGeddesBaby.com and download her new app, which is a safe place you can upload and store all of your precious images of your children and share them with friends and family, plus much more.
We'll see you next time.